Good morning, Crossbridge. I had a very interesting weekend. If you saw my Facebook, I stopped by the girls' sleepover on Friday, and they did my makeup. So I still have nail polish on my fingers, so if I'm chipping away at it, don't be alarmed. And then yesterday, the guys went out to a Nerf gun arena, and we had this like Nerf gun war fight, and the air conditioning broke in the arena. So I was sweating so much, and afterwards I took a nap, and like now I'm still feeling the tired of running around with a bunch of junior hires. But we're continuing this morning in our series, Words to the Wise. And in this series, we've been talking about gaining wisdom from the Proverbs. This King Solomon wrote this long book or this long letter to his son, giving him instructions and these wise words to guide him through life to have a better life. So this morning, we're continuing in that series, trying to get this wisdom, trying to have this wisdom for ourselves and for our families, and I think that's something that we all want. Words are powerful, though, aren't they? Words are a powerful tool that we have, and they're all around us. I'm using words now as I preach, but we use words in speeches, we use words in music, in books. You can't really escape words. Think about it just this morning, how many words did you use from the time you woke up to getting here today? We use words all the time. But I have to ask ourselves, what are we truly saying with those words? I have a few questions for you this morning. They're actually questions that I asked our youth group a few weeks ago at our Wednesday night Bible study. And one of the first questions I asked was, what's one thing that someone said to you that was so encouraging that you still think about it today? What's one thing that someone said to you that was so encouraging that you still think about it today? For me, it was just last year in about August. I was preparing to leave my last church to come here, and I was doing my final youth group. And we had like a little party, like a little going away party. And at the very end of the night, all of my old students gathered around, and they started saying, you know, encouraging things to me. And this one student stood up among the rest, and with tears in his eyes, he started to begin to talk about how his father was never present in his life. And as he was talking to me, at the end, he kind of ends it with, "Will, all this time that you've been our youth pastor and been a part of my life, you've been like a father to me." And I'm breaking down. I'm like, oh, man. I was hugging him. I had the snot bubbles. I was so, like, just, oh, heartbroken. I hugged him. It was cool because this past Wednesday, I got to see him, and he was, like, super open arms, and we were still talking about that day that he said, "Man, you were like a dad to me." One of the kids actually got so jealous of the hug that I gave him that the next week he called me and goes, "Will, I don't have a grandfather in my life. You're kind of like a grandfather to me." And I was like, "What? Okay, sure." That's a true story. But I still think about that. I think about when that one student said, "Will, you're like a father to me." Because for me, that showed that 5 years that I was there, I did something with my life. That the tireless work that I was doing day in and day out actually came to something. I got to see the fruit of my labor. That when I was working hard, it mattered. But on the flip side of that question, has anyone said something to you so rude or hurtful that you still think about it today? Because they're a lot easier to remember, the rude and hurtful words. I remember when I was in high school, there was this physics teacher who I had, and I wasn't the greatest at math. I wasn't the greatest at physics. School was not my best thing that I ever did. And I remember he gave us this test, and he came up to me, and when he handed me the test, he goes, "Mr. Del Valle, I don't know why you're going to bother taking this test. You're going to fail anyway." And I remember I felt so dumb that I just got my pencil, and I wrote a big zero on the test, wrote my name, and handed it right back to him. I said, "If you think I'm just stupid enough to take this test, I'm not going to pass, then I'm not even going to bother." A few weeks later, he actually felt so bad from doing that, he came and apologized and let me take the test and get some extra credit because I did end up failing the test. But the fact that he was calling me almost dumb hurt me, and I still think about it. When I'm failing at something, I think about, man, a teacher, someone that was kind of important in my life who was supposed to teach me things, was calling me dumb. And I still reflect on that, and it's a lot easier to remember those hurtful words. Then they remember the kind words of my student. If you wanted to make it a little more personal this morning, have you ever said anything to anyone that could have hurt them? Have you ever used your words, jokingly or not, to hurt other people. Because that's what we do with our words. They have power to encourage greatly, but they can hurt just as much. And words can get away from us. There are these moments that when we're talking and we say things we shouldn't say, or we realize we shouldn't probably have said, and when you're in that moment, it's almost like you're talking and you can see the bad words just leaving your mouth, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, but then it's too late, and then you just keep going. Words can truly get away from us. And it starts with a few jokes and a few jabs at someone, but then it gets to become like wildfire, and it just starts burning people. Last week, Pastor Jimmy told us that the two most talked about topics in Proverbs are finances and our words. Last week, he talked about finances. So it only makes sense that this week we talk about words. So we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. You can turn there if you want. It's about, you open your Bible in the middle. You're probably in Psalms. You go one over to the right. There'll be Proverbs. But let me warn you now, you know, I'm jumping around like crazy. So I'm not going to stay in one place. So we're going to be starting in a bunch of different places in Proverbs. But I find it interesting that in Proverbs 16, verse 27, King Solomon says, "A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. This is saying that our words can actually burn others. It can burn people rather than encouraging people. These careless words can cause chaos in our lives. We see this with our friends, that people can be friends for years, but then gossip and these burning words can actually separate friends. We see it in families, that words can distance us from our family. We can use our words to help people, yeah. But a lot of times we're using our words to burn people. And all it takes is a little spark for our words to get out of hand. It can be something as simple as, why are there still dishes in the sink? I remember my dad, he likes to clean. My dad loves a clean house. And one time he came to my room and asked me, why are the dishes still in the sink? I told you before you went to school, do the dishes. And I remember I blew up. And all he said was, why are there dishes in the sink? And I said, I go to school every day. I have to do homework. I still have to hang out with my friends and have a social life. You want me to get good grades? I'm not going to do the dishes. And I blew up at him. And I started telling him how it's not my responsibility to do the dishes. He's the parent. That didn't work out for me. But I was trying to use my words to burn my own father. And it was something simple as, why don't you do the dishes? But then my words quickly got away from me. We do that, don't we? It can be something so simple, a question of why you didn't do this or didn't do that. And we can give an answer. You know what? I probably was busy that way with my awesome preteen life. But I didn't have to use my words to burn him. And they started to get away from me, and all of a sudden I'm yelling, and I'm burning all these bridges around me. When your words get away from you, I can almost guarantee you're burning someone when you do it. So this morning, I obviously want to talk about words. I want to look at a few different ways where we can see how words are damaging to people. So I want to look at four different ways that we use our words to destroy relationships and the people around us. One of the first ways we use our words to burn others is in criticism. If you are in a relationship or a friendship or in a family where you see criticism all the time, there's probably something wrong. Now, I've heard people criticize someone so much that every time you would go to that person, they had another critique for you. And after a while, you just assumed they would have nothing good to say to you. And they would cover it up with saying, oh, well, you know what? Your feelings are hurt. You just can't take good criticism. You don't understand how to handle a good critique. No, I think it's that you're just critiquing me all the time. That everything I do and everything that I say is ammo for another critique. And instead of planting encouragement, you're planting seeds of insecurity in my life. That's what criticism can do. It's okay to give a good critique now and again, but when that's constantly what you have, if you're viewed as a critical person, something's usually wrong. Criticism looks like when someone goes into a room and the first thing you say is, oh, wow, you're going to wear that. Or it looks like, wow, you don't clean your room. Why do you never listen to anything that I say? Why do you never do what I tell you to do? You always forget everything. You're never thinking of me. You make things so difficult in my life. These are words we use in criticism. We're critiquing people in our family and relationships around us. And if we are hearing or saying these things in our relationship, like these absolutes of you never do this or you always do this, we're starting sparks in conversation. And we are not far off from letting those words get away from us. And those sparks can start a blazing fire of destruction. So when we use absolutes like always and never, that is criticism. A second way we use our words to burn others is contempt. And that's the kind of sarcastic area of our lives. Contempt looks like when someone comes to a party and forgets the chips, and the first thing you say is, "I'm not surprised. You always forget everything. No one's surprised that you forgot something again." Those sarcastic comments that get a little bit of laughter can actually hurt someone so much when they're piled up again and again. These contemptuous or sarcastic comments, although they seem like a small thing, can actually really get out of hand and burn someone. What I mean by saying that is it can get out of hand a few times because you have people laughing around you, and it's good. I'm a sarcastic person. So me and my girlfriend, if you had to ask us, our love language is probably sarcasm. And we do it to each other all the time, but after a while, when we start building more and more sarcasm, one of us feels burned and our feelings get hurt, and we're kind of like, "Well, you know what? You're just kind of mean." And I was like, "Whoa, I was telling a joke." And I find this to be true in my life because I've had friends actually pull me aside and say, "Will, you know what? You're always so sarcastic with me and making fun of me in front of friends. You're getting kind of mean." And I was like, "Ooh, I was only kidding." It says this in Proverbs 26, 18, 19. Solomon actually speaks to this sarcastic nature. It says, "Like a man shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" When I was talking to the youth students the other day, they said a phrase they use all the time was, "I was only kidding," or "Can't you take a joke?" So we can cover up something mean that we say. We can say something truly mean or hurtful and then just say, "But I was only kidding. I was just joking." And we think that covers up everything, but no, someone still gets burned even from your joke. So Solomon's telling us here, don't say, "I was only joking." We can truly hurt people. And let me tell you the truth, when you're saying a funny joke at someone else's expense, it's probably not that funny anyway. So the second way we use our words to burn others is through contempt. The third way we use our words to burn others is in defensiveness. And we see this a lot with teenagers. Like I said, I'm the youth pastor here, so I'm dealing with teens a lot. And when you go to give a correction or a critique in their life, they quickly throw up defenses. I think we can all do that. We throw up these defenses and try and hurt the other person before they can hurt us. So it's like, "Why didn't you clean your room?" "Well, if you didn't give us such a big house with all this stuff, I wouldn't have to clean my room so much." Or, "Why did you go over your texting on the phone plan? I see it on the bill. You went 1,000 texts over." And we can quickly turn it to, "Well, if you would have bought the unlimited plan, like I said so, and been a better parent, you wouldn't have to go on overage charges. I could text more. So, Dad, it's really your fault that I went 1,000 over in my text messages." We throw up this defensiveness, this guard, this shield. So when people come to even give us a small critique or a small thing of encouragement, we take it the wrong way and we take it as harsh words because we're so defensive. We're waiting for the hurt. So the third way we use our words to burn others is defensiveness. When we are not willing to hear them out and not willing to hear others out. The last area that we see how hurtful words can start with sparks or a scorching fire is with stonewalling. Stonewalling is when we mentally or physically check out of conversations. When someone comes up to us and they start talking about their feelings, and we begin to check out and say, "You know what? What you feel isn't accurate." Let me tell you today that people can't tell you what you're feeling. What you're feeling is what you're feeling. But sometimes when we're stonewalling, we can tell someone, "No, you're wrong." But then stonewalling can actually go another step, and it's actually us trying to block out people, trying to block out emotionally the conversation. And you see it a lot today is now all we have to use is our phones. There's been so many times when someone's stonewalling me or I'm stonewalling someone, and the first thing I do is I start answering a text message. And they're talking to me about their feelings and how they're hurt, and I'm kind of like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And then when you're talking and saying, "You know what, this really hurt me. Oh, yeah, that, okay." And we check out. Sometimes we check out with video games. Sometimes we physically leave the room and go, "You know what? I just can't take this. I'm going for a walk." And men, sadly, this is something that we struggle with, I think, a little bit more. I remember growing up, the phrase when I hear my parents fighting or my friend's parents fighting was, "Well, I'm just going to go back to work. I'm just going to go back to my office and work on what I got to work on because I don't want to deal with this conversation." And we start putting up these emotional walls all around us so people can't hurt us and they can't get near us. So the fourth way we use our words to burn others is stonewalling, when we begin to say nothing at all. So if we see any of these things in our relationships or in relationships around us, or we're struggling with them ourselves, we have to recognize that we can be in a dangerous spot with our words. And we either on the verge of starting, or we've already started fires in our lives that are burning people all around us. But we have a choice today to choose every word we say. We can start choosing wise words instead of foolish ones that hurt people. And that starts with understanding that wise words bless others and not burn others. In life, people will annoy us. They'll bother us and they'll frustrate us. That's, you know what, for the most part, normal. But we have to be able to control our own words in those situations so they won't get out of hand and spread like wildfire. Our lives will be in a better place if we choose to use wise words. But that makes me wonder, what are wise words then? Because I feel like I understand all the foolish ones. Wise words bless others, and foolish words burn others. Wise words start with humility. Foolish words start with pride. Wise words bring healing. Foolish words bring pain. Wise words spark creation, and foolish words spark destruction. Wise words leave encouragement, and foolish words leave insecurities. For the remainder of our time this morning, I want to look at a few different verses in Proverbs that will help us choose wise words and help us in different situations in our lives. That we can begin to choose wise words in every context of our life and not just choose foolish ones. Not to choose the foolish ones that have potential of starting fires. So I have a few steps for us this morning. And to do this, I think the first step is we need to curb our criticism. The first step we need to take is to curb our criticism. When we are in arguments with someone and we're criticizing people, they can emotionally cut us. Every hurtful word is like another cut on our skin. And sometimes those cuts can get really deep, like that teacher in high school who said, "Will, you're going to fail anyway." That cut deep to the point where I still remember it today. And I still think about that every time I fail. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. Words can cut deep. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless words pierce like a sword. So when we use foolish words, we can make truly deep wounds. You can cut your spouse, you can cut your coworkers, you can cut your friends. And let me tell you, all the while that you're cutting them with your words, they're most likely cutting you back with theirs. And then that just becomes a bloodbath. With these weapons, we can cause all sorts of pain. With swords in our words, we can cause pain. We have a choice to sheath our swords and choose a different approach to these conflicts. In Proverbs 15:1, this is probably one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says in Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." If you choose to have a gentle answer when someone else's tone is not the greatest, when they're loud and in your face, if you choose to have a tone that is sweet and gentle, you can actually turn away their anger when they're speaking to you. A gentle answer is wise words. Harsh words are foolish. Harsh words throw more wood on the fire. I got to think, have you ever been in a situation where someone's just reaming you out? Someone's just yelling at you? I feel like I have so many times people yell at me. That's pretty normal. But people are yelling at me in like school or teachers or different bosses in my life have been yelling at me, and I've always wanted to match that rage with rage, and it usually turns into explosion where we're just going back and forth screaming at each other. But then there are times that I've had people scream at me, and I chose, you know what, I'm just going to say okay. I remember one time I was late. I used to work at ShopRite pulling carts. That was like my claim to fame of working outside of a church. It was my first job. I had it for 3 months when I was 17. It was the only other job I had outside of church, and I was pulling carts. And one day, I figured out I can hide between this certain camera and the carts and start texting. So I would turn a cart over, run over to the Burger King while on shift, get a burger, run back, sit on the cart, and just text and eat and have my own little break. And I was hiding behind the camera, and one day, my manager came out to see where I was, and there I was eating a burger in one hand and texting in the other. And I remember, oh man, and she started screaming at me right in the parking lot, screaming at me on the top of her lungs. And I remember, okay, I knew I was in the wrong, But I could scream back because I can make up some excuse because, you know, I was 17. I thought the world was mine. I usually can make up an excuse about anything. And as I'm talking to her, I was thinking, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. And then she didn't like that I wasn't fighting back with her, so she started getting louder and louder. And I was like saying, no, okay, you get it. You want to dock my pay? I was giving her all these different things she can do for me, these different punishments, and she finally just kept screaming and screaming, walks away. At the end of the shift, she came and apologized to me for how she acted in front of customers. Gentle anger, gentle words, gentle answer can truly turn away wrath and harsh words. But it doesn't work like that every time. There's been times I've been yelled at, said a gentle answer like, okay, and they just keep really laying it on. It doesn't work every time. But when we start to make gentle answers a lifestyle in our life, that every time people come and yell at us, if we choose the gentle answer and make that lifestyle prominent in our lives, people will start to realize that yelling and screaming doesn't work with you. That there has to be a different approach because you can't respond to screaming and rage. And after a while, people will learn, okay, he has too much of a gentle answer. We're just going to have to talk to him. Gentle answers can truly turn away wrath. Whether it's immediate, like that one time at ShopRite, or after a while of building that lifestyle up, people just soon realize anger and wrath don't work with me. I don't think any of us want to say foolish words. So how do we choose to say wise words? The first thing we need to do is curb our criticism. The second step we learn from the wise words of Solomon is to kill contempt, not each other. Kill contempt, not each other. Proverbs 18:3 says, when wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. Remember, contempt is those sarcastic comments in relationships. It's in those eye rolls. Eye rolls are my pet peeve, just so you guys know. Eye rolls and sarcastic comments, that's contempt. And when we have contempt in our lives, we actually bring up past problems into current fights. We bring up the past absolutes and the past arguments we've had, and we bring them into the current fight, and that's really not fair. In the heat of an argument, we can choose to bring up the past. And usually when we feel like we're bringing up the past, it's because we're losing ground in the argument, so we have to get more ammo. And we start saying things like, you always do this, just like that time you forgot to do this. Or instead of apologizing, you go, well, I might be wrong this time, but remember that one time that I wasn't wrong? You never changed. You said you were going to change, and you still haven't changed. And I think it's hurtful when we bring up these past actions and bring them into new conversations. Because then it becomes a battle of how many times do I need to apologize for the same exact thing? And then now you have two fights going on. One, why am I always apologizing for something? And the fight that you currently were having. Proverbs speaks to this. In Proverbs 17:9, it says, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. And it's saying, so here, if you cover over, if you forget, okay, we've talked about this, we've forgiven this, this is in the past, you're promoting love. But if you keep bringing back past fights in the new arguments, it's actually saying you're separating yourselves with people. You're burning others when you do that. So when we're speaking to someone, let's be intentional of that conversation here and now. And let's not bring up past things. And let me tell you this morning that past hurts are not ammo for future fights. Past hurts, the things we've argued about before, don't use them as ammo for a fight you're currently in. So this morning, if you get anything out of this message, remember, past hurts are not ammo for future fights. I feel like I can't stress that one enough. So what do we do to kill contempt in our lives? First off, I think we need to stop and never say never. Let's not deal in absolutes. Let's not say, you never do this, you never listen, you're never on time, because that's just not realistic or true. So let's not be foolish and say never or always, because that's almost always never true. Secondly, got it. Secondly, to kill contempt, never get historical. Pay attention. It says never get historical, not get hysterical. It says never get historical, and I love this because it's just reiterating what I said earlier. Don't bring up past issues. Don't go for the low blow in a conversation. Stick to what you're talking about now. Past hurts are not ammo for future fights. So when we make right choices to never say never and to not bring up the past, we're going to begin, and you're going to see it in your lives, to begin to put out these fires in your life, and you're going to prevent new ones from starting. Because past hurts are not ammo for future fights. So the second step we need to take is we need to kill contempt and not each other. The third step we need to take to choose wise words is to drop our defenses. We have to be able to listen to people and truly not assume that they're out to harm us. When someone approaches you with a problem or a critique that's good criticism, maybe we need to take time to hear them out and listen, and maybe even take a portion of their advice because it might actually work out in our favor. King Solomon even tells this to his kids. Proverbs 25:15-31, "He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise." Listening to people and not throwing up our defenses gives us a chance to grow, gives us a chance to sharpen each other. It says this again in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." Even this week, my cousin called me because I said something mean to another person in our family. And my cousin calls me up and goes, "You know what? I don't think that was the best thing for you to say." And quickly, because I'm writing this message, I was like, "You know what? You're right." I tried to drop my defenses. I was like, "You're right. I'm sorry." And I said sorry to myself and the person. And then my cousin called me back a few hours later. And he says, "Are you mad at me?" I said, "No. Why would I be mad at you?" He goes, "Because I corrected you." And I was like, "Dude, as iron sharpens iron." And he was like, "Oh, that proverb we're always talking about." Yeah, buddy, now you're getting it. So I can honestly say I'm trying to put this practice with contempt and killing it into action. With defense and dropping them, I'm trying hard to put it into action. I can say that I truly put this into action here, even at Crossbridge on staff. Because I remember my first few staff meetings, it's almost like a little bit of shock if you ever go into a staff meeting, because it's like they drop their defenses at the door. And then you get to this table of all this transparency, and at first it's like a little much. It's like, whoa, we're getting deep really quick. And it doesn't mean it's always pleasant, but when we talk, we advise each other. We know that we're truly there for each other. And I found out when I started working at Crossbridge, my defenses were up. And I was starting little fires, mostly with Danielle, because she would, I would say, "I'm fine," and she would like smack the table and say, "Will, you're not fine." I'm like, "I'm fine, I do everything my way." She goes, "No, you're not fine, get your life together." Okay. But I'm starting to learn, I'm starting to put into practice to put those defenses down at the door. When you can put your weapons aside and truly talk, you start to see this beautiful picture of people sharpening each other and truly helping each other become more like Christ. We even see it with our sermon preaching team. When we have those meetings, we actually critique each other. So after I'm done talking up here, usually the preaching team is going to critique me. And they're either going to say, "Will, you still speak way too fast," or "Maybe finally you're getting a little slower." I'm getting slower? Yeah. All right. But it's a practice that I'm learning. There's not every word that someone says, every critique, or every maybe little advice is not out to hurt me. King Solomon says it like this in Proverbs 27:6. "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." And all that is saying is that an enemy or someone against you can say a lot of nice things to your face. When they're not around you, they might be stabbing you in the back, doing those emotional cutting moments, talking sarcastically about you, or using hurtful or foolish words to you about you to others. But wounds or tough words from a friend, while they still hurt, and they might feel uncomfortable at times, can be so helpful. And if a friend's going to hurt you, they at least do it to you face to face. And those are the moments when they say, "You know what, this hurts me too, what I'm about to say to you, but I really feel like you need to hear this." But if our defenses are up, we miss those words, and we receive all correction as harsh. We have to learn to drop our defenses. And the last step we need to take is to climb the wall. I remember earlier talking about stonewalling and saying we're building up these walls all around us. We've already done it. We've already built these walls. But now it's time to start climbing over them and getting back to the reality and the transparency. We need to stop building walls and start climbing the ones we have. When you stonewall someone, when you check out and go to your phone, and stop listening, they automatically feel like you don't care about them. When you start walking away or saying, "You know what, I'm just going to spend more time at work," or "I'm going to go for a walk," we can actually hurt people that we're in a conversation with. And us choosing not to talk can actually burn them. But usually, when you're stonewalling, because we can't process how we're feeling. We don't understand how to articulate, or we don't even understand what's going on with us. We know we're upset, and they're coming, and they're making us more upset, and we don't know why. So what we stonewall and say nothing and let it pass over. And we build up more walls every single day. I can honestly say there was about a year of my life where it seemed like every day I was putting up a new wall between everyone around me. But then I decided that I couldn't do this anymore. Because when you start building walls around you, it starts to become a lonely life because you're pushing people farther and farther away. So I remember choosing to talk to friends and pastors and seek counseling. And then I started to realize, okay, when I'm pushing people away, I can't process what I'm feeling. I don't know what they're saying to me. It's too much information at once. And through counseling and through friends, I started to realize, okay, this is why I do the things that I do. And instead of stonewalling people, it was a lot easier to say, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but I need a few minutes just to process everything that you just said. Or I truly need to sleep on this and think about, why am I bothering you in this way? Why did I do this to you? Or why am I affected by what you're doing to me? When you take time and seek counseling, you start to process those true feelings. I think everyone should seek counseling at some point in their life, even if you think your life is going great, because it usually brings up something that you're not dealing with, some wall that's not been met. And it gives us the tools to start climbing the walls. I don't know if you've ever been on a rock wall. I have. I'm short. They're really far away. And when I'm climbing, it's like, oh, I can't reach that next one. And counseling gives us the tools to reach that next step. And it gives us the tools to stop building more new walls. So if you're stonewalling, I challenge you to climb the wall. And is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. When you're starting to process your own feelings, it gets tough. I'm still in it now. But it's worth it for what's on the other side. Words are powerful, aren't they? Words can be incredibly powerful. We see it in the beginning of Scripture. God chooses to speak creation. He could have did it in a number of ways, but no, he chooses to speak out creation and said, let there be light, and his creation starts to form. And like God can create planets and stars, we can create things too. We're not creating this amazing planets and stars, but we're creating encouraging moments, or we're creating a lot of new insecurities. We have the choice this morning to choose wise words and create blessings instead of creating fires. In the super wise words of Uncle Ben from the Spider-Man comics, if you're not aware of him, it says, with great power comes great responsibility. You have a great power today. We have an amazing power today with our words. Think about it. You can create someone to have an awesome day just today by what you're saying, or you could really ruin a life. That's a lot of power we have. But we can choose to use wise words this morning. We need to be able to choose wise words when it comes to dealing with those around us. Because if we're not careful with the words we choose, they can get away from us and start a scorching fire that burns everyone and everything in its path. Today we saw how words can get out of hand. It could be in criticism, always critiquing someone and not ever encouraging them. It could be in contempt when we use absolutes and bring up past mistakes. It could be in our defensiveness when we have our guard up so much that we actually hurt people when they come and approach us. And it can be in saying nothing at all. We can hurt people by choosing not to use words and check out the conversation and build up a wall between us. So this morning we've had four steps that we can choose to take further in our faith. Which step do you need to take today? Even writing this, I realized I had a little category almost in each one. And I've been trying to chip away at it. And as I've been studying the Proverbs and seeing all of these verses that we talked about today, I can see it actually happening in conversations like, oh man, iron sharpens iron. He's not trying to be a jerk. He's trying to talk to me. What if Crossbridge was a place where we choose to use wise words all the time? We'd be a lot happier as a church family. And then people would see it and go, wow, when I go to that place, that's probably the one place that doesn't hurt me in life. And they'll start to come more, and more people will be here to learn about who Jesus really is. Because Jesus used all the wise words. We need to stop taking things and trying to set things ablaze and watch out for the sparks that we're throwing down in our daily lives. We need to put away our weapons and shields and start choosing wise words. We saw today that the Proverbs are full of them, and each one is a different tool for a different conversation. It talks a ton about the words we can use, so I encourage you this week, continue in the series, continue in the challenge of reading a proverb a day. If you don't know what proverb we're on, you can just go on Facebook and we post an image with a cute little saying from the Proverbs right on there where you can read, and that shows you what chapter we're in that day. But which step do you need to work on today? What words will you choose today? As the worship team comes up, I'm just going to pray. God, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you for helping us have a place where we can look to choose wise words. I pray that we take this responsibility and we treat it as such. God, help us to not set fires in our lives and to bring healing. And if there is already fire in our life, God, help us to put them out. And as now we get ready to give back to you, God, I pray that we realize this is another part of worship. That when we give of our finances, like Pastor Jimmy talked about last week, we're giving it to you in trust and in faith to continue the ministry. We love and we thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.